Pablo Escobar said, sometimes I'm God. If I say a man dies, he dies the same day.
That's a clip from the Netflix historical crime drama Narcos, which tells the story of Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar and the law enforcement officials who hunted him. Season 3 of that series premiered today. Meanwhile, fans of the revival of Twin Peaks are gearing up for the season finale that airs this Sunday on Showtime. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans has been keeping up with all of it, and he joins us now. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
And let's start with Narcos. Pablo Escobar has really been at the center of the drama there, but the end of season 2 showed Escobar being shot and killed by police. What can we expect the show now?
Yeah, that does a little something to the star of this show, right? When your leading guy gets killed. So what's interesting is that the story of the drug trade moves on to the Cali cartel, who kind of take over the business and really corporatize it and make it even more part of the infrastructure of Colombian society. And so the third installment of Narcos deals with the DEA's efforts to go after the Cali cartel, which is actually run by four guys. That turn actually solves a lot of problems that people had with the first two seasons of Narcos. Basically, that it was too focused on Pablo Escobar, and that when his story got boring, the show got boring. Here we have four different people leading the Cali cartel. It's a much more interesting story. It's a much more culturally specific story. The only caveat that I would have is that there aren't very many female characters, and the female characters don't have a lot of agency. So This is a very male-centered story, and it's gangsters and DEA people. You know, the Cali cartel was almost thought of as sort of the Colombian KGB. They were so adept at controlling the country and keeping tabs on any effort by law enforcement to curtail them, that the effort to kind of break all of that down is a really compelling story for the third season.
Compelling enough to watch the first two seasons if you haven't already in order to get ready for the third season?
I would say you don't necessarily have to watch the first two seasons. Huh. And I might even recommend it for some people. I think it's more entertaining than the first two. And I was a fan of I've always been a fan of this show.
All right. What about the revival of Twin Peaks, which is going to have its season finale on Showtime this Sunday?
Yeah, so this is one of the most bizarre TV experiments of the year. Basically, they gave David Lynch and Mark Frost, the original co-creators of Twin Peaks, 18 episodes to revive the series 25 years later. The characters were all 25 years older. And what was presented was something that was, I say, aggressively eccentric would be my way of talking about it. You had to know a lot about the characters in the original Twin Peaks to even make sense of the beginning of this story. They are throwing characters at you from the old series, and if you don't know who they are, you know, good luck to you. And then there's also a lot of new characters that were introduced. And, you know, I've always, when I talk about this new revival, I always harken back to the fact that David Lynch started as a painter. And so I feel like a lot of times what painters do is they give you an arresting visual image, and then they let the audience figure it out, right?
Right.
And so I think David Lynch does that a lot. He will present sort of arresting and visually enticing and complex sequences and scenes, and it's kind of up to you to figure out, you know, what they mean. And he's not going to give you a lot of help, and he's not even going to do interviews where he explains what he's doing. But that results in a very complicated story that you have to know a lot about Twin Peaks to get. Even then, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And it's so surreal that by the time you get to the end of 18 episodes, I'm not surprised that the viewership has been low for this revival.
All right, well then let's move on to something where the viewership has been really high, and that is Game of Thrones, which wrapped up over the weekend the latest season.
That's
We've got
right.
one more season coming. Now, at the beginning of Game of Thrones this week, Eric, they ran on HBO like a 3.5 minute promotion for every other show that they do. And it made me wonder, what are they going to do, or how big of a challenge is it for HBO to hold on to people after something like Game of Thrones wraps up, especially when it's going to be so long before we see the next season?
Yeah, I think it's a tremendous challenge. We may not see episodes of the final episodes of Game of Thrones until late 2018 or maybe even 2019. They've got a show waiting in the wings, Westworld,
right,
that has dominated the Emmys in the same way Game of Thrones has. They have a show that will be debuting just next week called The Deuce, done by David Simon, who originally did The Wire. James Franco plays twins. It's about the emergence of porn in New York in the 70s. So that's an ambitious show that they'll be bringing forward. There'll probably be a couple of years where they will be offering us some things, and they'll be experimenting and trying things until they hit on that next series that takes off, if it's not Westworld, which I still have a hard time believing will rise to that level, although it's possible.
Well, now that Game of Thrones is done, for me, I have moved on to Ozark on Netflix, which I know you like and I'm enjoying as well.
Yeah. Ozark's very good.
That's Eric Deggans, NPR TV critic. Eric, thanks so much as always.
Always a pleasure.
So much good TV right now. Yes. Just finished The Crown. That's also a
great one. I'm on the third season of House of Cards.
You've got to get caught up.
I know.